On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow, a wind is a-blowing to the valleys below.
Way up in the Great Smokies is a town called Boone. Years ago, they brought a rail line into Boone. There was a big celebration and a banquet. Somebody asked an old-timer to comment on the arrival of the railroad. He said he'd be glad to. Stood up at the banquet and said, "The railroad is going to be the making of our town. Up to now, the only way a man could get into Boone was to be born here."
Tall tales I can tell you, so listen and learn. There are ghosts in the valley, and they long to return.
The official name of the railroad was the East Tennessee and Western North Carolina. The folks who wrote it called it just the Tweetsie. Old Mrs. Judkins over at Linville Gap used to paint pictures of the little engine and the tiny passenger car. Somebody asked her once why she painted just the Tweetsie. Mrs. Judkins looked surprised. "Why? Because it's the only train there is around here." The Tweetsie had quite a history. Got to be pretty famous for all it was such a little railroad. So settled back and listened to its story. Another of Tennessee's tall tales.
I'm a-walking down the track, I got tears in my eyes, trying to read a letter from my home. If that train runs right, I'll be home tomorrow night, 'cause I'm 900 miles from my home. And I hate to hear that lonesome whistle blow. I'll pawn you my watch, and I'll pawn you my chain. I'll pawn you my gold diamond ring. If that train runs right, I'll be home tomorrow night, 'cause I'm 900 miles from my home, and I hate to hear that lonesome whistle blow.
The best part of the day to meet the Tweetsie for the first time was sunset, when the last rays of light put a gold crown on the grassy peaks of the Smokies. 1,000 feet below you, a cowbell tinkled. The evening wind rustled in the trees, and then you'd hear the Tweetsie's whistle, high and thin, like the sound a toy train might make, and the sound of her engine breathing hard because of the incline of the mountain. She was built out of Johnson City, Tennessee, into the Doe Valley of Carter County back in 66. 5 miles of solid iron rails pointed toward the towering mass of the Blue Ridge Mountains in North Carolina. Another 11 miles were wood rails covered with strap iron. On top of the mountain were balsam groves and iron mines, and that's where the Tweetsie was headed.
Well, every Monday morning, when the bluebirds begin to sing, you can hear those hammers a mile or more. You can hear John Henry's hammer ring, oh Lord. Hear John Henry's hammer ring. John Henry told his captain, said a man ain't nothing but a man. But before I let your steel gang down, I'll die with the hammer in my hand, O Lord, die with the hammer in my hand. John Henry had an old lady, and the dress she wore, it was red. Well, she started up the track, and she never looked back. Going where my man fell dead, oh Lord, going where my man fell dead. Well, some said, oh, he's from England, and some say he's from Spain. But I say he's nothing but a Tennessee man, a leader of the steel-driving gang, oh Lord, leader of the steel-driving gang.
Folks in the Highland countries love the Tweetsie. Looking out into the Watauga Valley, they found a never-ending pleasure in seeing its plume of smoke curling upward. It had bright red paint on the driving wheels, and a slender, graceful smokestack, and a flared cowcatcher. You could put a finger on a wheel spoke and bring that finger away clean as a hound's tooth. Ask a man at Linville Gap what time the Tweetsie was due, and it squint upwards. About the time the shadow hits the near peak of Grandfather Mountain, he'd tell you. And she's nigh due now. It cost $1 million to put the Tweetsie's track through the solid granite of the Doe River Gorge in Tennessee, make the climb to 4,000 feet, and cross the line over into North Carolina to the town of Cranberry, where the iron mines waited with ore to be taken back to Tennessee.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Oh, we'll all go to meet her when she comes. Oh, we'll all go to meet her when she comes. Oh, we'll all go to meet her. We'll all go to meet her. Oh, we'll all go to meet her when she comes.
In all, there were 45 miles of track on the Tweetsie line, including the last 12 miles that linked Cranberry with Boone. Years ago, when Chauncey Depew headed up the railroad holdings of Commodore Vanderbilt, they used to tell how the president of a little railroad called the Waupaca-Neche Line went to see Depew about an exchange of courtesies. The president of the Waupaca-Neche said he'd like to have a pass on all the Vanderbilt trains, and in return he'd see that Chauncey Depew never had to pay to ride on his railroad. "I never heard of your railroad," Depew said. "How long is it?" "We're operating 67 miles, the president of the Waupaca-Neche said.
67 miles? Why, the Vanderbilt system has thousands of miles of track. You call trading passes an exchange of courtesies?"
The president of the Waupaca-Neche held on to his temper and his dignity. "Mr. Depew," he said as he got to his feet and left the office, "your road may be a little longer than mine, but it ain't any wider." Nobody ever told that story on a man from the Tweetsie line. To climb the heights, her builders narrowed the rail gauge from 5 feet to 3. The little Tweetsie engines, shining with red and gold paint like something you'd see in a jeweler's window, scuttled gaily around curves where the granite mountain shot straight up on one side and the Doe River boiled at the foot of a sheer drop on the other. Years afterward, the general manager of the Tweetsie was trying to describe the roadbed before some Washington bigwigs. "It just follows the contour of the hills and the rivers," he said. "Like a bull calf," one of the bigwigs joked. The general manager shook his head. "In some places, I doubt if a bull calf could get there." It was the heyday of the railroad builders, the years of 60 and 70 years ago, when the Tweetsie climbed the steep inclines to North Carolina. There wasn't a mountain too high to cross or to tunnel under, nor a desert too wide or too hot in all the USA.
"The Great Pacific Railway for California hail. Bring on the locomotive, lay down the iron rail. Across the rolling prairies, by steam we're bound to go. The railroad cars are coming, humming through New Mexico. The railroad cars are coming, humming through New Mexico.
It was the ribbons of concrete highways and the automobiles, trucks, and buses that spelled out the doom of the Tweetsie for all that she was so loved by the people of the Highlands. Then the forests and the iron mines played out, and Tweetsie's freight cars went the way of the gay little passenger coach into limbo. And one day in August of 1940, the thunderheads above the mountains opened up and turned a torrent of water on the rugged terrain below. Part of the Tweetsie's roadbed was washed away. That was the end of the life of the little stem winder between Cranberry and Boone, although some traffic continued to ply the rest of the route. The Interstate Commerce Commission in Washington agreed that it would not be commercially profitable to restore the lost track. In the Grandfather Mountain country, when someone dies, it's customary to write a few lines of appreciation, and the editor of the county newspaper prints them. A girl named Annette Vance wrote up the Tweetsie, wrote a little poem about the train. It summed up what most everybody felt about losing the stemwinder. Annette's poem ended this way. Her loss we pine, we loved her so, to think we will never hear her blow. Our memory of her is clear and plain. Please send us back our little train.
The train I ride on is 100 coaches long. You can hear the whistle blow 100 miles. If that train runs right, I'll be home tomorrow night, 'cause I'm 900 miles from my home. And I hate to hear that lonesome whistle blow. On top of Old Smoky, all covered with snow, a wind is a-blowing to the valleys below.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of Tennessee legends. Tonight you heard the story of the East Tennessee and Western North Carolina Railroad and the Highland folks who called it simply the Tweetsie.
Tall tales I can tell you, so listen and learn. There are ghosts in the valley, and they long to return.
Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey and is heard every Tuesday evening at this same time. The ballad singer was George Grice, and the storyteller was Bobby Wiener. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services and came to you from WSM, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, in Nashville, Tennessee.